says created equal, our Puro promise is to bring you raised without antibiotic products, just like our pepperoni, bacon, grilled chicken, smoked ham, and chicken wings. Ciao, I'm Dominic Primucci, inviting you to taste the difference.
439, oh, 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 for Pizza Nova. 439, oh, 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 for Pizza Nova.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Team Blundell and Company.
All the preteen children out there, listen to my voice. You are immortal.
Hey, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
I didn't realize it was my job to pump his tires.
Let's go now.
You're listening to Team Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome. It is Dean Blundell and Company for Monday, the 16th day of January.
Wow.
Halfway through, huh? Right now, minus 5. We'll see a high today of 3, and then tomorrow, 3, and then Wednesday, 6. Rain, and pretty much all the snow should be gone by Wednesday, where it continues to be plus-side temperatures all week long. And man, oh man, maybe the busiest, one of the most successful weekends in Toronto sports I've seen in a long time. First, we start with something that happened after you probably went to bed. News breaking overnight. Jose Bautista and the Jays are nearing a deal, so not all is lost. If you are a Jays fan, he likes us. In turn, Jays have nowhere else to go, so it is a match made in heaven. Leafs win 2 in a row this weekend, so did the Raps. Wasn't even close. Raps hammered the lowly Knicks yesterday. I hate the Knicks. Always have. I've said that since it's a, I can't stand the Knicks. I just remember saying they were a pretty deep team. They are if they don't play iso ball, man, where they crap, and the Raps are good, so there's good news. They also got the Nets on Friday, which is also good news, so they win 2 in a row, and your Leafs, man, oh, man. They walk into New York. They give it to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Then they head into Ottawa. And the same thing, 4-2 both games. And Austin Matthews shut him down one game. He comes back in another. Willie Nylander, nowhere to go with those three lines. And they win a couple, and we're still having that playoff conversation. So that was good this weekend as well. And then Atlanta, New England, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh, your final four teams all play for a trip to the Super Bowl this coming weekend. So a busy day. Good morning, Georgie boy. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, Dean. And where do you want to start? Do you want
to start? Jose Bautista.
Like right away?
Right now.
Everybody's going to be talking about how great the Jose Bautista imminent signing is going to be and what a great
Don't
job.
Say everybody. You said everybody's going to start. Not everybody.
Okay, the majority of people.
Half.
Okay, half of the people are going to say how great the Jose Bautista imminent signing is.
And circumstances.
Way to fill a need and a hole, and I totally don't see it that way. This is just
circumstances.
Desperation. By both teams. And what did we say when the Blue Jays got knocked out by the Cleveland Indians in the ALCS?
Lost opportunity.
You got to get younger. You got to get more left-handed. You got to get more athletic. And what have the Jays done now in the offseason
they
once
got
Jose
more,
Bautista?
Now they got more switch hittery, which was nice. So they sort of got more
younger.
Left-handed. Didn't get younger yet because I don't think they're done.
Oh, okay, but impact players. Now, if they do sign Jose Bautista, they've pretty much spent the budget.
Yeah.
So they'll have to fill the holes with some dumpster diving. So essentially, the Blue Jays have really not accomplished what they set out to do in the offseason.
Well, and you know what? And that's going to be part of the conversation today, too. And I am more apt to agree with you because when they give you the – and this is why you're better left not to give us the plan. You know when we're begging Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro for some kind of inkling as to what they're doing, and they go, we're going to get younger, more left-handed. And then they don't do it, and you're like, well, you didn't get younger, more left-handed, so you lost, right?
So they're going to lose. I don't understand your question.
Well, you didn't get younger, more left-handed. There was more of a statement. But one of the things, and I was thinking about it this morning, and Faber and I were talking about it before we went on the air, and I think that this is really the driving factor behind the fact that Jose Bautista and the Blue Jays are nearing a deal. the driving factor really was, and you put it in I don't want to say a negative light, but you put it in a very realistic light when you say desperation. He had nowhere else to turn. The Blue Jays had nowhere else to turn.
Yeah.
He was the best option left at that position, offensively speaking. Not a great defensive upgrade, but he's going to get you on base. He had the best OPS. He hit the most home runs. He was the best available guy at that position. And so they went and turned to, apparently, Jose Bautista. And I don't know the term. I have no idea what it is. Might be a one, maybe a two, but it ain't going to be more than that. And I have no idea about the dough. But I can tell you this, is that when it comes to the narratives, and I know we hate using that word, when it comes to parts of this discussion as it pertains to why Jose Bautista will probably remain a Toronto Blue Jay for the next year to 2 years, according to reports that broke late last night, I'm okay with it still. Because you've got a guy that gets on base. You've got a guy that you know is going to break open games for. You got an impact bat in that lineup. And that is exactly what you needed. He was the best. Listen, he was still the best available option at that position in Major League Baseball. Not just for the Toronto Blue Jays. But he was the best available option when you consider what else is out there. So I guess good for them. Late coming, for sure it is. Reasons why, we don't know. But at the very least, you've got some good news when it comes to production in this lineup.
I'm glad that the Blue Jays grabbed the best available guy in the middle of January, Dean, in the offseason. And we're like, what, 4 weeks? Just a little over 4 weeks away for pitchers and catchers reporting.
But here's the thing. Is it they're in the same boat that everybody else is because of what the market's done at that position with that kind of player, right? So it's not like they were the only people waiting. Everybody else is doing the exact same thing.
And there's still a lot of guys out there and still a lot of teams that have slow played the market. What did you want them to do?
Get younger, more athletic,
you
and
left-handed? You wanted that, or they said that through the media, and because they
now
haven't
you're
done
holding
that,
it to them.
You don't like that. Or you always agreed that that's what they should have
we're
done.
All...
Like, they just brought back Bautista, and it's a big negative because it didn't fit that.
Well, and...
guidelines? Like, are we glad this is happening now considering the offseason?
Two things.
And
two
considering
things.
The options that are left at that
Absolutely.
Position. Yeah, for sure.
Two things. You talk about that's the management saying that. So we should hold them accountable for not doing what they said they were going to do. Then don't say it. Don't come out and say we need to do these things and address these
But then
needs.
There's people like us that are screaming at them. And I don't disagree with you because there's people like us that come out and say, well, just tell us what the plan is. And they go, okay, we'll secede. We'll tell you part of the plan. And then when they tell you part of the plan and they don't complete that part of the plan, or they don't follow through, or they can't for unseen or seen circumstances, we get pissed off at them and go, I thought that was your plan. So do we just not like the fact that they didn't succeed in what they told us they were going to do, or the fact that Jose Bautista is not part of this team and you didn't want him to be part of this team?
Right.
Jose Bautista, he could have a good season with the Blue Jays, Dean. He absolutely could.
Yeah.
But this feels like
Duke could go 40 home runs. He can get OPS over 900.
Yeah, on base, yeah.
He can have 370 on base.
Yeah.
He could drive in 100 runs. I mean, he still has that potential.
Or he could be a complete disaster in right field because he's a diminishing asset. And it feels like to me we're all chasing the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays offense. And more than likely, it ain't coming back in 2017. We saw flashes of it last season. We saw it in the Texas series. But as a whole, the offense was disappointing because it's getting older. And this is a move, and God bless them, because it makes sense. If it's a one-year deal, which we think it probably will be a one-year deal, if the Blue Jays do struggle around the trade deadline, he's an asset you can move.
Yeah.
And so, you can get a lot of you get
So
a lot
how
of
is it a bad thing then?
Well, I'm just saying it just goes, it's to me, it's just a move. You're just plugging a hole because ultimately, if things don't go your way, you're going to start tearing this thing
down.
Yeah,
but isn't that what this part of the season is? Is plugging holes? Isn't that what, like, by and large, that's what the offseason's for? You get to the winter meetings and you try and do some big work. And if you don't get it done, which they got a little bit done, Morales is a little bit. Yeah. Steve Pierce is a little bit. They got a little deeper. They got the same production in two guys and a guy that can play some left field and another guy that can't play anywhere in the field unless he absolutely has to and is pressed to duty. But at the very same time, isn't that what this whole season's about? The off season? It's about plugging holes. And whether or not it happened 6 weeks ago or it happened today, at the very least, if the rumors of Jose Bautista re-signing in this city for a year to 2 years, that's a great deal for the city of Toronto, knowing the fact that he's going to come at the discount he's going to come at, and you're not going to have to give him the term, and you still know what he means to this lineup and his ability to get on base.
There's a good potential that this is really good value and this sure. works out like very well for the club. And if it doesn't, well, it's probably a one-year deal, and if it goes south, yeah, you can move him or whatever. You eat it for a year. Do you feel completely different if it's Edwin back and Jose not? Like, still not more? Well, you're still not more left-handed, and you're not younger. So, oh no,
but, right? But Edwin's coming off a monster year, and you can see he still
Jose
has
had one bad year, right? Like,
but now
it could completely flip this year, yep. couldn't it?
Yep,
for
absolutely.
1 year. My point is, like, either way, that wouldn't have gone to plan if you are, you know. If that's the be all end all, is that you have to get more left-handed and have to get younger. The problem, like, they, sure, if that was the plan, that was hard to do, really, with this free agent class, right? Like, were there a lot of great young players out there you wanted to go get? No, it was a Dexter Fowler, and he was 30. Like, that was the name we all got mad at. Was there some free agent out there that you really wanted back? No. Like, who? It was a bad class. Unless you're making a deal to do that, that wasn't going to be easy to do. So, sure, if we want to look at under that light, you can be mad. I think today you're pretty happy with Bautista
sure.
coming back. It's a lot better. And so what's next? Maybe they go out, you know, do they find another lefty bat? Do they take another run at Saunders?
Do they make a trade? You know, there's as Stephen Brunt said, there's lots cooking. Maybe this was what was cooking. I really don't know, but I can tell you this is that today, as I sit here, as a Blue Jays fan, the news that Jose Bautista and the Toronto Blue Jays are nearing a deal, specifically knowing how the market has gone and how the offseason's gone for this team, I don't see a whole lot of downside for the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't see downside when it comes to the financial part. Not that I really give a crap about the financial part, because I'm that guy that wants the team to overspend and be completely unrealistic when it comes to putting a team together.
Sign price, so, sign everybody.
Absolutely. So, and I know that. I know that about me, and I know that those are my expectations of the team because I want to win, and I'm idealistic. But when it comes down to doing, you know, financially the right thing, and you can say it's the right thing, or you can say it fell in their lap. We don't know the motivating factors behind why Jose Bautista wants to re-sign here or why they want him to re-sign.
And why it took so long.
But if they've got a better deal, if it took that long and that length of period of time gave them more flexibility financially and he's back in the fold, I don't see much downside to the fact that Jose Bautista might be back as a Blue Jay.
Then why do everybody who cover this team say that the Blue Jays value that first round pick so much?
Because they want
a lot more than signing Jose Bautista.
Because maybe they still do. Maybe they still do. Well,
clearly they don't, Dean, if they're signing him.
Just 4.5 weeks away from pitchers and catchers, you know, you have to put a team on the field. I mean, and you have to have the best option. And this team is still a really good baseball team. So
that's the interesting part to me. I mean, I don't think you can feel bad as a Jays fan with this. With what's out there in the market, you have your guy, and he's going to be pissed off. The deal's going to be team friendly, and there's a great potential for a bounce back. Okay, so but we know that they had this hole, and he was out there for months. So why did it take so long to get it done? Were they hoping they would get that draft pick and they just said, the hell with it?
Probably.
Or they didn't want him back because maybe the guys in the, you know, Donaldson and the like don't really love him that much and maybe we want to go into draft. But so what changed? You know, that to me is the interesting thing today and this week, if we could find out the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the big mystery.
Well, we'll try and figure that out later on this morning. And obviously, that being the breaking news overnight, Jose Bautista nearing a return to the Toronto Blue Jays on a believed to be a 1, maybe 2 year deal. We don't know the term. We don't know the money. We just know that there's an opportunity that Jose Bautista may be back in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform, making a lot of people happy this morning as well. Also, knowing the fact that your Toronto Maple Leafs, I believe for the time being, are still in a wild card position for the playoffs in the NHL. That's because they've been a house on fire, 9-1-1 in their last 10, in their last 21, 11-5-5. They're one of the best teams in the NHL over the last month, which is great news. Also good news, you've got a backup goaltender that's more than just a pylon. So we'll get to that coming up this morning as well. Your Toronto Raptors take a couple this weekend. It is an all good news story as we start off your Monday. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
5:50, good morning, welcome. Monday, the 16th day of January, minus five right now. We'll see a high of three today, three tomorrow, six for Wednesday. As we get started this week, busy day today. Full slate of NFL games yesterday. Your final four set, New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Atlanta. Duke it out for the Super Bowl next week. Couple of great games. Well, see, conflicted because the Dallas-Green Bay game looked like a runaway for Green Bay in the first half. Dallas makes a miraculous comeback. They tie it at 28, and Green Bay wins it in, with what? Well, no time on the clock.
Right.
Because of a Mason Crosby 51-yarder, which he had to hit twice because he was iced by Jason Garrett the first time. So a couple of boss kicks in the last three and a half minutes by both teams. Unbelievable throw by Aaron Rodgers to Cook, the tight end Cook, with about, what was it? I don't know, 6 seconds left?
Yeah. Great toe drag swag, unbelievable, as they say on Jared Cook.
Anyway, so that was a great game. Tons of fun to watch, start to finish. And then I didn't know what to make. I still don't really know what to make of that Pittsburgh-Kansas City game. Pittsburgh wins 18-16, Kansas City. He gets the two-point conversion with next to no time on the clock to tie it at 18. There's a hold on the play, so that gets called back, and they don't make the next play, and then they lose 18-16. Le'Veon Bell with 170 yards. Neither quarterback specifically actually played really well. It was a defensive game. It was a cold game, but got to give it to their kicker, who was just lights out. He was ice. Boswell was great. Bell, like I said, I mean, you watch that guy play, and you literally have no idea how he has the patience to play that well at that position, because it's all start stop, and there's more stops than starts. Specifically, there's one handoff, I was telling you guys this off the air, that was unbelievable, where he gets a handoff and he literally walks to the line of scrimmage and waits for stuff to open, and then he's gone. Well, and he did that all day long, like the wait and the stutter step, and then boom, he just finds a hole and goes through it.
Well, I think it's funny. He was saying how he's going to change the running back position. He's going to change it. Well, when you're such a special athlete like he is, it's all about that explosive first step, and that's what he has. Not everybody. LeGarrette
Blount. But it's not even a first step. It's like his eighth, because he's taken like
six or seven
little steps, like where he's walking and waiting. You know, he really is. I mean, there's a GIF that was going around on Twitter. I should have retweeted it yesterday, which is unbelievable to watch, where they kind of slow-mo him getting the handoff from Big Ben, and he literally walks towards the line of scrimmage, and then boom, he's out of there. I've never really seen the position played like that before.
Barry Sanders did a lot of things like that too, Dean. And you're right, he's a tremendous player, but it is about that explosive first step. And you're right. To be that patient, and now he thinks, and a lot of people covering the game think, that a lot of running backs going to start to mirror or at least try to do what Le'Veon Bell does. But credit the Pittsburgh offensive line. They won the battle at the line against the Chiefs, who couldn't get to the quarterback. And Justin Houston was back, and he was essentially a non-factor because he was still banged up from that knee surgery. And who doesn't want to see the Steelers and Patriots in the AFC
Championship? Yeah, it's awesome. I'll tell you what,
it's the best matchup.
It's a great Final Four because you get the Steelers-Pittsburgh, so there's a little history in that matchup, which is nice. History. What's wrong with me? Little history. And then on the other side, you get a pretty compelling matchup. Yeah, not really. Then you get a pretty compelling matchup with the Green Bay Packers, who got it done yesterday, who've been the best team in the NFL over the last two, three months of the season, doing it again yesterday. They go into Dallas, and they win one in a tough barn. And they win it with, like, no time left on the clock. And then Atlanta, surprise, surprise, they literally give it to, and I mean give it to the Seattle Seahawks and rough up Russell Wilson on the way. So you got Matty Ice. The quarterback matchups in these two conference championships are unbelievable. You got Matty Ice and Aaron Rodgers. They're going to go head-to-head. Matty having maybe the best season of his career, possibly the best season he'll ever have. He'll probably be the MVP. if you believe most people. And then on the other side, you got Big Ben and Tom Brady. So, those are compelling matchups. And for people that want to see some new blood in those conference championships, just take Atlanta as one of those teams and enjoy what you're going to watch, which is quite possibly, of our generation, four of the best quarterbacks going head-to-head. And one guy who's never had a chance.
Sports.
Get right in there.
Well, Matt Ryan isn't in that conversation. He has to be, and it's fantastic. He's got to put a lot more years together. But don't you want to see Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl against Big Ben or Tom Brady?
Yeah, for sure.
Great what Atlanta's doing, but I don't think anybody wants to see Atlanta in the Super Bowl now. They want to see Rodgers and the Packers there.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Atlanta in the Super Bowl. I know
really
Arthur
exciting.
Blanks would like to have his team in the Super Bowl. One of the nice guys in sports.
He was cutting a rug in the locker room after, too.
You mean his hair?
No, actually, he was busting on his wife, dancing. Too. I like her, too.
The owner of the Falcons. Yeah. He's a nice man.
Home Depot.
Absolutely.
Founder of Home Depot.
Anyway, so 5:55, lots going on. We'll get to all the NFL playoff games. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. George has an update. Also, news breaking last night as you were in bed that the Toronto Blue Jays are set to possibly announce, maybe negotiating, nearing a deal with one Jose Bautista. That and your Leafs are a house on fire. It's a good time. Great time for sports. It was a great weekend this
great
weekend. Wasn't it? It was
sports.
An awesome weekend. All news was good news.
Great weekend this morning. Great weekend this weekend. Great lots of things to watch.
Yeah.
Great time of year.
Anyway, George has an update next to fill you in. Right now it is 5:56. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi there. Welcome. It is Dean Blundell and Company for your Monday, January the 16th, -5 right now. Lots going on today. Busy day. Super busy. Jose Bautista may be back in the fold. Your Toronto Maple Leafs are actually good. Hashtag actually good that's going around. You see that? I don't know who started this whole thing on Twitter, but it's funny. Leafs are, quote, actually good. Hashtag actually good.
I believe the blog, the Leafs Nation.
Leafs Nation started it. Good for those guys.
Gets credit with that. And they were saying that when the season started. And
yeah.
Appears to be right.
I will say this, is that over the past year or so, I've spent time really trying to digest Fenwick and Corsi and all that crap. And I know you're going to say why.
Oh, sorry. I lost your difference.
Same thing with sabermetrics in baseball, like war and weighted on base average and all that other crap.
So boring.
So the math behind why players and teams are successful, right? And so there are guys out there on Twitter that this Micah McMurdy guy, do you follow him at all? Jeff Vallette, do you follow this kid?
I like some entertainment on Twitter.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's entertaining because these guys are wholeheartedly dedicated to the math behind why the Leafs are actually good.
Are you not entertained?
A lot of those guys, those math dudes, have got hired by NHL teams over the last 3-4 years.
Like a lot of those guys, like John Chayka, are the general managers of hockey teams in the NHL now.
Right, which the old school hockey guys are not too fond of that.
No, like the dude from Cap Friendly or whatever the guy, I can't remember the guy's name. He's now like in Vegas. He's the numbers guy for the Vegas franchise.
I don't know. There's been numerous examples of that.
So you follow these guys, and I'm enjoying the season. I'm enjoying the stories. I'm a story guy. But when you look behind the numbers, you realize that it is a fairly sustainable team, not like a couple of years ago when Randy Carlyle ran this team, right? You know, they'd get outshot like 100-1, and they'd still win the game because they'd bury some opportunities. But that doesn't happen, you know, game after game for 82 games. It just doesn't.
No, Leafs are among the league's best third in shots on goal.
They're second in shots on goal behind, I believe, Pittsburgh. I don't know what they are in chances. You may be actually bang on when it comes to chances, but not only second in shots on goal, they have one of the best goals against average, and they convert 9.5 to 10% of their chances. So I'm going through these numbers yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, there are people out there that live for why, right? Why is this team good? Let's look behind the numbers and find out. And you know, it's funny because you can make fun of numbers all you want. You can make fun of Corsi and Fenwick, and I still don't really understand it. I do understand it enough, though, to go, some of those guys that you would call nerds, that I would call nerds, that would say are very boring, are absolutely bang on. And it's fascinating to read. Anyway, there are people out there that actually, like, they've got day jobs, but all they do is spend time breaking, and they don't work in the industry. They just spend time breaking down. And for someone who's got a day job, that you have to actually, like, you think about how into it these guys are with numbers, and you actually have to go, wow, you are one of the most dedicated fans on the planet if this tickles your fancy, because it ain't for me.
Some of it's not rocket science, Dean. It really isn't. The team who possesses the puck more generally does better. Oh, and wait, the team that shoots the puck more on net generally does better.
Yeah.
Those
are earth-shattering stats, Dean, and I can't wrap my brain around those statistics.
What I'm saying is you have to, at some point, like, you have to be able
kidding.
Yeah, but you have to be able to say, wow, good for you guys. That is actually what gets you off, what gets you going. That's the thing that you love the most, is studying the math behind why a team is actually good. Because it's formulaic, some of the stuff that you read. And guys like Jeff Merrick would be better to answer that kind of stuff. But it has some merit, right? Like, it has more merit than you think it would. I just marvel at everybody's dedication that doesn't get paid to do that. Because if you're not paying me, I'm not looking at shots for and against and where they're from and what it means about puck possession, all that other crap.
Or what's the zone time or the zone entry.
Yeah.
Breaking all of that down.
Here's where I come at it. Austin Matthews is unbelievable, and William Nylander and Mitch Marner are going to be awesome, and we get great goaltending, and we need a better couple more defensemen, and we'll be really good. Not actually good, we'll be actually really good. That's how I look at it.
I just don't like some of it's kind of, it's a little gray area-ish. Like, those guys are determining whether or not it was a prime scoring chance, a good scoring chance. I'm not big on that either.
I could care less about that stuff.
Like in baseball, defensive metrics as well, where a guy goes, ooh, the guy on a laptop goes, that was the wrong route to the ball. He should have took a better, quicker route. Okay, shut up. Like, no. Yeah,
did he catch it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hitting fine.
He caught that ball, bad route. That's the knock on Kevin Pillar, is that you watch, like, fans like us love the excitement of it, and guys that study the game go, well, the reason why is he's always way out of position and he takes a bad route to the ball, so they all look like miracle catches.
Right. And that's what I love.
But like, I don't care less. I think it looks awesome.
I'm totally okay with the hitting aspect of analytics, which makes sense. Either you can hit a curveball, you can. You hit left-handed pitching, right? It's pretty simple.
There's really nothing more to it than
it's
that.
Straightforward.
It's easy to figure out.
But, you know, Kevin Pillar, actually, Dean, if he would have took 2 degrees further to the right, that would have been a more optimal catch. Instead, his route was probably wrong, and I will ding him now for a defensive miscue.
I can tell you, it looked rad.
Yeah. The analytics folks say that Martin Marincin is good, though, and that's the one thing that really sticks in my craw. I watched that guy, man.
He's like, terrible.
He is not good. He can't be
right.
Good. But those are the things. But I think big picture, it's really interesting. I like sports because I like to be entertained, and sitting down and figuring out math, and I separate those two worlds. But I'm interested to see what those folks have to say.
For sure.
Because for the most part, they seem to be right.
I respect the hell out of it. And for the very same reason, then when I sit down, I want to watch the game. I want to see the drama. I watched 2 NFL games start to finish yesterday because
it was the best day of your life?
Because it's playoff football. I may have had some cheese on both of those games. I may have gone 2 for 4 and took the over for a little more scratch, so I came out ahead. But at the same time, I enjoyed the drama start to finish. Am I going to sit there and go, you know what I really want to do is I want to look up, top end speed for Antonio Brown when he's in traffic. I want to look up red zone stats. I don't care about red zone stats yesterday. I can tell you this weren't great for Pittsburgh or Kansas City in that game. That's for sure. But I don't want to look up red. I want to watch the game. I want to see guys get hammered. I want to see excitement. That Green Bay Packers game yesterday, that Green Bay Dallas game yesterday, I don't know anything about the stats other than Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott went head-to-head. Dak Prescott had a worse game, not by a lot, but enough that it didn't matter because Aaron Rodgers was just that good when he needed to be at the end of the game, and it was a battle between two kickers as it came down to the last 3 minutes again. And that's what I wanted to watch. I don't know the stats. I love the drama. But at the same time, watching guys like these Leaf Analytics guys or these Fenwick Corsi guys or these WAR guys or these Fangraph guys go at it when it comes to numbers, man, oh, man, I think it's awesome. I really do. Because you appreciate the dedication it takes to do that for free, right? These guys are doing it for free. They just love it.
I just think it's funny, and Faber brings up a good example of Martin Marincin. Because when you look at the eye test, he's terrible. And the analytics people will say, oh, he's got a good puck possession. You know, the teams aren't in his zone in a lot of times. Yeah, but Martin Marincin doesn't play against the top players in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and that's what I don't like about analytics guys. They get all sensitive, thinking it's the end-all, be-all. It's not. It's fine. If you want to use it as a tool to help improve your team and look at other things, that's great. And you should use it because it's 2017. But it's not the end-all, be-all, especially when it comes to hockey, to me.
And it feels like the conversation, it used to be really heated back when people didn't know much about analytics, like 3-4 years ago on social media. Man, social media is always the worst when it comes to
fighting
about topics.
Wait a second, people on social media got beat up because they were geeky?
Yeah, well, I mean, but the analytics people on social media were just as bad as old school media types who didn't understand or want to understand another point of view on matters. So,
yeah,
old school media folks have got out of the dark ages, and the quote unquote hockey nerds have relaxed a little bit, and people are starting to take everybody's opinions for what they're worth, which are smart for the most part. So
share those opinions, we'll all be better.
That's right.
10 minutes after six. Anyway, lots to get to, so let's get to it. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Deedon. It's brought to you by your Ontario Toyota dealers. The tweet happened at around 11:30 last night. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com had this, quote, source, # Blue Jays have emerged as the front runner for Jose Bautista. He's nearing a deal with the club. # Toronto at MLB. John Heyman of FanRag Sports and MLB Network also tweeted this last night. Quote, Bautista and Jays are indeed close to forging reunion and getting deal done. At Jesse Sanchez, MLB was first. Baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca, Ben Nicholson-Smith, tells us you'll probably recognize the dude playing in right again.
This definitely sets the Blue Jays infield up for next year. I mean, this is a group that lost a couple of players, and now Bautista slots in, presumably, as that right fielder if this deal is completed. So, alongside Kevin Pillar, left field would still be a question, but Bautista is someone we're so familiar with, could end up being that right field option for the Blue Jays again next year.
A lot of the same for the Blue Jays this season coming
up. Not true. Not a lot of the same. And the reason why it's not a lot of the same is this, is that Edwin's gone. You got Kendrys Morales and Steve Pearce. So it's not a lot of the same. Some parts
you're
are different.
You're worse.
You're going to have to wait and see, because if you combine the production between Steve Pearce and Kendrys Morales, Steve will obviously platoon at first base with Justin Smoke, and he'll probably take a spin in left field from time to time. You don't know what they're going to do with left field. You've still got Upton, and apparently the Jays and Saunders keeping an eye on each other as well. Not that that's something I would like to see, but because I would like to see an impact player in left field. I don't know if Jay Bruce is an impact player the way he finished last season with the Mets, but rumors about him as well. So I'm apt to think that there's something else going on, but this pushes a whole bunch of production down and puts a whole bunch of stuff in place. The fact that Jose Bautista probably will be back with the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's a huge hole that they had to fill. It was the best player at that position. Might have been the best bat still in that lineup. It was the best on base in free agency as well. So you've got a really good player in right field. Do we know him? Sure. Did you want him back? I don't know. That's up to you. That's an opinion piece more than it is anything else. But when it comes down to why and how, I think stop asking how and just know that we needed a guy in that position, and we're familiar with him and what he does, and it ain't bad. And you know you got him at a discount, so all is well with the Toronto Blue Jays this morning. Look at it like that, as opposed to you wanted a draft pick, because the average fan could give two squirts about a draft pick.
Yeah, but then why force it down our throats?
Force what down your throats?
That the draft pick is so vital that the Blue Jays
no one
value
it
the
down
draft
your throat.
Pick. Of
that
course
was,
they
that,
did.
No, that was John Heyman and everybody else out there that were
right,
talking about
guys
it. Wasn't
in the know?
Wasn't
who said that the Blue Jays value the draft pick
last
more than
week,
bringing back
Last week you said
Jose
Heyman
Bautista?
Wasn't in the know. So what is he? Is he in the know or is he not in the know?
Well, why wouldn't they value a draft pick? But the question is,
exactly,
what did they value? Well, what?
Then let him go and get the draft pick.
Why?
But instead, it's a desperation move at the end of the offseason.
For everybody.
Yeah, it is.
And
it literally
is. But for whatever reasons it happened, does it help the team or no?
Absolutely.
You hope it does.
For sure it does. Absolutely. But there isn't a general manager out there or a baseball writer or anybody who's not familiar with the work of Jose Bautista, also coincidentally what the Blue Jays need, that doesn't think this is a tremendous move and a tremendous job by whoever, whether you call it desperation or whatever, to get this done, because man, oh man, the Jays had a need and Jose maybe had a bigger need. So for whatever reasons, you can be pissed, but the job's done, which is great news. If it is done.
You talk about need, but the manager himself at the end of the season said, we need to be more left-handed and we need some more speed.
Who cares? Who cares what they said? Because it didn't work. The market collapsed. It didn't work. They couldn't achieve what the goals were that they set out, so they have to revert and have it. Maybe this is plan C. I don't care what they said. I care that Jose Bautista is going to be in right field and you have him in the lineup. That's what I care about, because you were missing two massive pieces of the equation of him and Edwin are gone. We know Edwin's gone. So I don't care what – I don't care. Because they said they're going to get younger and left-handed, and if they didn't do it, does that mean they're not going to be a better baseball team with Jose Bautista in this lineup?
Chances are no. Because he's an older guy.
Well, and so is you want. Like, I don't understand negative.
But that's not my job, Fabro. We're supposed to fall over ourselves because they go out there and sign Jose Bautista to a one-year deal because it's fiscally responsible now for the Jays because they lowballed Jose because he misread the market. We should give them an excuse that they misread the market and didn't fill a lot of holes that this team needs. The manager himself says they get more left-handed and they got to get faster. And what did we all say when they lost to the Indians? Oh man, the Blue Jays can't manufacture any runs. They're not athletic. So we're going to have an older same team heading into this season, and we're going to waste this pitching staff by having guys who are on the back end of their career because, ooh, it's a fiscally responsible deal for Jose Bautista. We should all as fans be drinking the Kool-Aid that the Blue Jays, oh, look what we did. We brought back Jose Bautista. It's the middle of January. He's the best available. But what about November, Dean? What about plugging these holes in November? I don't care that they misread the market. There's things they can do. They can trade pieces. And because they sat down and waited for the market to come to them so they could lowball a guy in Jose and tell us, oh, look, our payroll's never been higher, we're supposed to say, oh, good job, guys. When you essentially have the same team that's older and lost to the Cleveland Indians, who are a far superior baseball team in the American League Championship Series, and we're all supposed to fall over ourselves because you signed Jose to a one-year deal.
I don't necessarily think anybody's falling over themselves here.
But everybody's going to pat the Blue Jays on the back today, and they're an older team than they were.
Nope. No one's patting anybody on the back. No one's doing that.
Who's going to pat the Jays on the back? Like,
listen to the radio station today. A lot of people are going to pat the Blue Jays on the back.
Well, why don't you wait and see before we condemn them?
No, but right? I mean, let's be... I hear a lot of what you're saying. First of all, the fans love to hate on Jay's management regardless. So
I don't care what the fans say. Okay. I'm just saying, like, what we saw against the Indians, the problems that the Blue Jays had, it's essentially the same team. And because they misread the market, we're supposed to give them a mulligan? Because you have Kendrys Morales, a guy who broke his leg jumping on home plate, is supposed to be this younger, athletic,
quicker guy? Can I stop you for a second?
Can I stop you from freaking out? 200 RBIs, and Edwin's a better player.
Can I stop you for a second? The bottom line is that you can rail on whoever you want to rail on for the fact that it took this long and they didn't accomplish the goals that they told us they set out to accomplish, which is get younger, more left-handed, more athletic. If that is your bugaboo because that's what they told you should be your bugaboo, then you go ahead. However, as it sits today, watching everybody misread the market and watching everybody still available, and he was the best available option at that position, it is an absolute no-brainer for this team to bring him back, and it's a no-brainer for him to try and get something done with this team because of the situation that he's in. There's mutual need, and it was satisfied hopefully yesterday and will be today, because we need a player that can play right field with some competence. We also need a bat in this lineup that can produce and drive runs in, because you've got a left-handed, right-handed switch-hitting DH. It's going to get on base. He's also going to hit some home runs, and you still have to fill that void. And for whatever, it doesn't. It's the ends justify the means. Machiavelli. So what it is everybody sits and waits, and you realize at the end of the day that's your best available option, so you get it done. Because it didn't satisfy the principles they set out for people like you and other people that think, yeah, we need to get younger and more left-handed, because that's what they said, I think it's probably for people like you to maybe throw out that book that they told you to read and go, well, this is the new book. This is what the team's going to be, and we're going to have to wait and see. Do you agree with it? One, sure, if you do, great. If not, that's up to you. But the bottom line is that if that is the best available option at that position, and it's a mutual area of need for both teams, it's super stupid not to get it done.
No problem, Dean. The team's older, and just by looking at the history of baseball, generally speaking, they won't produce as well.
Kendrys Morales is 4 months younger.
Okay. Great.
And
this is just setting things up for them to tear it down if they get off to a slow start in the first
and
half.
And Steve Pierce is the same. And Steve Pierce is like 32.
And don't come crying when all of a sudden the Blue Jays are blowing things up in July. Because they had an opportunity with this pitching. But I'm telling you, they had an opportunity with this pitching staff.
You still have an opportunity with this pitching staff. You have no idea how this is going to go. So you can't rail on something when you haven't seen the fruits of the labor.
It's the middle of January, right. If they go out and make a trade and get some good younger players, great. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, Dean, because there's no room in the budget, too, for that.
Who are all these good young players out there that they were going to get? Like, that's what the... Like, you can say that, and that could be something they want to achieve. But it's easier said than done. Like, okay, if Edwin was, you really wanted Edwin back, well, they mismanaged that, and so did Edwin's people, and that fell through. Here we are today with a great rotation and a team that's still ready to build now, and you add who you think is the best option right now. I don't think today is a day to be angry about it. You added Morales, who's a lefty bat, who gets on base more. Steve Pierce.
Yeah, today is the day to wipe your brow and go, whew, hopefully that's an answer.
Absolutely, and hopefully you get some other, well, they need to get some other things done in the next 5 weeks. I just don't see, like, ideally, sure, would you get faster and more athletic? Yes, but I just don't know how possible that was given this... You know, the free agents available. And how much do you really want to, trade? You want to build that farm system? So, what, are you going to trade your top pieces to get a bit more athletic? And,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
As it stands today, they are a different team.
They're worse.
Well, on paper they are, but that doesn't always matter. Mm-hmm. Like, and we've seen that year in and year out. You know, Steve Pierce... I know, not very sexy, but really good against left-handed, makes contact, gets on base on that side. Kendrys Morales, same thing, doesn't strike out as much.
We'll hit 270, 280 this year, though.
Or maybe he does, and Jose has the possibility for a bounce back. I mean, it just, this today is a positive day. Has this offseason gone great? No. But it's not to say that the Jays aren't a better team this morning as they are today. And I'm not saying let's all give them a big round of applause. But on paper, if you got Jose at a good deal and you still want to win now, it makes a lot of sense to me. I just don't like you. I get what you're saying, George. I just don't understand what you really wanted them to do. Like, who are these big players? They missed on Fowler. They missed on Edwin. Okay. Well, they now.
Not a lot left unless you go buy a trade, and you can't really trade when you have nothing to trade. Right? Especially when you're not willing to part with pieces like Guerrero. Especially when you're not Reed Foley and the future, Connor Green. You're not going to part with those pieces.
We can all pretend like we know how good those guys are. And everybody was willing to trade all these prospects before.
And the one thing I do think, if Tellez is the guy they believe is the future at first base, I'm sorry, maybe you didn't need to sign Edwin to a big deal if he's ready in a year, you know?
And if on the interim you replace that production with a couple of different guys, sure.
With Pierce, I know Smoke sucks for the most part. Maybe Pierce does too, but maybe Jose now, if he's back in the fold, as being reported that it's near, maybe Jose starts filling in at first base as well. That makes a lot of sense to me, too. So, I don't know. It hasn't been a great offseason, but this is finally good news, I think, for Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, the 36-year-old Bautista hit 22 homers and posted an 817 OPS during an off year in which he had multiple injuries. All right, let's quickly get to the NFL. The divisional round of the playoffs wrapped up yesterday in Kansas City and Dallas, with all of us hoping for some good games. Let's first start in Big D, as the Red Hawk Green Bay Packers faced Cowboys super rookies Dak and Zeke, but it would be Aaron Rodgers and Jared Cook showing off some toe drag swag in the dying seconds that would be the difference.
Adams wide left, three receivers to the right. Snap to Rodgers, looking, rolls left, waits, still looking, throws it deep down the left side. He's got his man out of bounds on the far side, and it is incomplete.
The ref signaled catch, and on comes Mason Crosby.
The official on the play said no catch, but the other official came over and said it was a catch, and on the replay it looks like a catch by Jared Cook at the 32-yard line of Dallas. And with 3 seconds to go, that would get Mason Crosby one last shot at winning this game.
Yeah, the catch of the postseason so far, Jared Cook, unbelievable to stay in bounds, getting both feet down.
How about
down.
The throw?
The throw was
the catch was unreal, but the throw to scramble, and he called that play. That wasn't drawn up. That was him saying, you go here, you go there, you go here. And to make it happen, to roll to his left, turn around backwards, roll to his left, run out to almost to the sidelines, look for a guy, get him. And for him to stay in bounds on that throw was unbelievable, too. It was crazy.
And that set up Mason Crosby with 3 seconds to go.
51-yard field goal attempt, snap, placement, kick to the uprights, and it is right down.
Yes!
It is good, and the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Dean, Packers beat the Cowboys 34-31 to advance to face Atlanta in Championship weekend next weekend. Straight ahead, I'm going to play you the Cowboys radio call.
Yeah.
Because they're a little confused, and we'll talk about the Chiefs and the Steelers. Oh, and by the way, Raptors beat your Knicks last night.
Yeah, and the Leafs are actually really good. We'll get to all that coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. Listen online at sportsnet.ca/590.
Welcome, Dean Blundell and Company, for your Monday. Busy day today. Lots going on. We got a couple of Leaf games to talk about. They won 2 on the weekend. Raps win 2 on the weekend. Jose Bautista's the big news of the day. Rumor breaking last night in a tweet from Jesse Sanchez. Is that who that came from? Sanchez, or is it Chavez?
I know. You totally want to
Sanchez. I want to say Jesse Chavez. Anyway, thank God. Jesse Chavez.
Great hair, too, Jesse Chavez.
Every time I say Jesse Chavez, I go like this. Him and Drew Storen. Anyway, that Jose Bautista may be a Toronto Blue Jay after all. After all that crap. Can you imagine, after all that garbage, after all that spring training, they know what I want. They got my number.
No negotiation. I told them what I wanted.
They got no negotiation, the circumstances, all that other stuff. And now Jose Bautista may indeed be a Toronto Blue Jay, and we may know more imminently. So that is the latest breaking rumor that they are working on a deal. We'll get to that coming up in a minute as well. We've got a pair of tickets to go and see the Toronto Maple Leafs play some hockey. We'll get to that a little after 7:30 this morning. So hold on, right now it is time for an update, and here's George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Burger King. You talked about it. The tweet happened at around 11:30 last night. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com had this quote. Source, hashtag Blue Jays have emerged as the front runner for Jose Bautista. He's nearing a deal with the club, hashtag Toronto at MLB. We think it potentially could be a 1-year deal for Jose Bautista, who's 36, coming off a year where he had 22 homers and posted an .817 OPS. Let's get back to the NFL, Dean. We just played you the clip of Mason Crosby winning the game on a 51-yarder as time expired as the Packers beat the Cowboys in Dallas 34-31 on an unbelievable catch by Jared Cook in the dying seconds. Toe drag swag on the sideline from an incredible throw from Aaron Rodgers. Did you hear the Dallas Cowboys radio network call?
It was, it was depressing.
It was. Here it is.
Crosby for the game. 51 and away. Line drive kick. It's good, and the Packer, it's...
Missed it.
He missed it.
Did he miss it? No.
It's good.
Oh, my goodness.
The judge under the left upright held his arms up.
This thing sneaks into Cowboy players. We're all signaling no good from the field.
Yeah. It's good, it's and good. The Packers win the game.
Yeah, you're done. It was good, and you're done. And Aaron Rodgers was ridiculous. Packers won their eighth in a row. He threw for 356 yards and two touchdowns. The Packers, of course, now travel to the ATL next Sunday in championship weekend to face the Falcons, who just crushed the Seahawks over the weekend. It was the only game from yesterday. They moved it from a 1 o'clock kick to an 8:20 kick in Kansas City because of the weather. And speaking of kicks, it was all field goals for the Steelers.
43-yard field goal attempt for Chris Boswell's on its way. The kick is up, and that kick is good. And with six field goals, he adds to his record.
Yeah, that was a postseason record as the Steelers held off the Chiefs 18-16 thanks to six field goals from Chris Boswell, not to be confused with Brian Bosworth, who starred in 1991 Stone Cold.
Joe, what the hell's going on? You're still on suspension. Let me see you sweet talk your way out of this one.
Huff! You got to save for yourself this time.
You got to clean up on aisle four.
That's a great clip. Hey, Travis Kelce, there was a hold on the tying touchdown, Dean. It was a hold on Eric Fisher, the offensive lineman, on James Harrison. Did you hear what Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Chiefs, had to say about the call? Not a big fan.
Unbelievable play call. Last drives, Alex just drove us down there, fourth down after fourth down, making plays. The momentum's getting on our side, and then just get our jugulars ripped out because ref felt bad for James Harrison falling on the ground. It's ignorance. The ref number 51 shouldn't even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again. He shouldn't even be able to work Foot Locker.
He's like a dumber Gronk, Travis Kelce. And you know Gronk sounds dumb? That's dumb, because I watched the play, and that was absolutely a hold.
It was.
Yeah, so if you're going to go off and act like a tough guy sticking up for your teammates, make sure you're right before the end of it, as opposed to giving the opposing team credit, because that's a way better look than you coming across like you're just a sore loser.
Oh, my goodness. And he played terrible. He dropped key passes. He took a 15-yard penalty. I mean, geez, and that was the right call. Harrison had a great game.
Yeah, 38 years old.
What a career. Yeah, busting through. Their former number one overall pick, Fisher, looks terrible. I think, isn't the takeaway that I'm happy we don't have to watch the Chiefs again next weekend? You know, right. Andy and Reid.
Shocker, he misused his timeouts.
Well, yeah, he was left with only one timeout. They had no urgency on that drive. You know, they... It was just, and now Andy Reid is 11-12 in the postseason, and Alex Smith, same story, close but no cigar. He was okay, but you know, I think we're all happy that we get to watch Steelers and Patriots in the AFC Championship.
Third down play late in the game where they used a timeout to set up the fourth down play. Yeah. How do you use a timeout? You know you're going to go for it anyway,
and you need that timeout in that game,
and it iced the game for you. Did you guys see Antonio Brown posted a Facebook Live recording of Mike Tomlin's post-game speech? It's kind of funny. Take a listen.
When you get to that point in the journey, man, not a lot needs to be said.
No.
Let's say very little moving forward. Mm-hmm. Let's start our preparation. We decided to go a day and a half. They played yesterday. Our game got bullshit tonight. We're going to touch down at 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So be it. We'll be ready for that. But you ain't got to tell them they're coming. Because some of us here might not like the damn wolf kickers and the check signing, right? Keep it low profile. Let's get ready to ball our fist up again here in a few days and be right back at it.
Let's go.
Hey, man, that's our story.
Keep
it tight. Cool on social media, man.
This is about us. Nobody else. Man. Yeah, be cool on social media. He posted the whole thing on social media.
So there's a video Antonio Brown took on his Instagram. Facebook Live, which is like now Vines, right? On Facebook, you can do like a Vine, but it's like you can live broadcast on your Facebook account. I don't know. I don't have a Facebook account because I'm not 52.
From the
old school.
From the locker room, which is supposed to be a sacred place, isn't it? Why are you doing that?
Well, and will he get in trouble for it?
Probably.
because he's Antonio Brown. Like, if it was some scrub who was just called off the practice roster to fill in and he puts that on Facebook Live, he'd be in big trouble. But it's Antonio Brown, so you're not going to go into that game and discipline him by not starting him. He's going to play every single snap if he wants to. So is he going to be in trouble for that? Can you imagine if someone came into this room off the air and Facebook Lived what we talked about? Probably wouldn't be great.
They'd be really bored talking about,
I don't know about
cooking
that.
And probably gardening.
Probably wouldn't be the best.
No.
But it had, and it's funny because I want to see that kind of stuff. Like, they allow TV cameras in the room after the game. I like that kind of stuff. I like the fact that he did it. And it wasn't that Tomlin said anything bad. He basically was chastising New England and saying, they're a bunch of you-know-whats. But at the same time, I appreciate being able to see that in the dressing room. I didn't see anything harmful with that. And I don't think Mike Tomlin said anything wrong or bad. He didn't really disparage his team other than the fact he didn't like them. But that's what you want. Like, you're going to go in, you're going to play one of the best teams in the history of football with one of the maybe the best quarterback and the best coach and the best chance to win the Super Bowl. You're jacked up. You want to go in there and get your team jacked up. I think that that's fine. And broadcasting, that's fine. It's not like he said anything wrong or racist or sexist or anything like that.
But what if they did?
Well,
he probably wouldn't post it. Well, I guess it was live, right?
That's the thing.
It wouldn't
matter. I mean, if you're in an emotional environment and a place, if you're his teammate, aren't you pissed? Because, in the locker room, I'm assuming you say a lot of things you wouldn't want public, right? Stuff that you might, that's probably offensive. You might not even mean it, but you just say dumb stuff to make guys laugh. And then if that gets out in the public forum in today's day and age, you could get roasted, and that could be a really bad thing for you and your team. I think they're really lucky that nothing bad came out of that other than Tomlin calling the Patriots a-holes. But, I mean, he's not the first or last coach to ever say that.
Exactly right about the New England Patriots as well. And it's not like there were reporters in the room either, or whatever he says is going to be documented anyway. That could have been a very dangerous situation for the Steelers, who play the Patriots on Sunday. That's the late game in the championship. That one gets going at around 6:15 on Sunday from Foxborough. All right, let's get to the Raptors. They played yesterday, and they smoked your Knicks yesterday, Dean.
Lee, jumper up top, no good. Rebound knocked away, and it goes to DeRozan. On the run against Rose, lay it up and in. The Knicks helpless right now under the barrage of the Toronto Raptors. 88-56, Raptors by 32.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan poured in 23 as the Raptors beat up the Knicks in a score that was very flattering for New York. 113-101 to prove to 8-0 against division rivals. Here's Coach Casey, though, talking about the bench. Wasn't really happy with it.
Everybody's got to be locked in. Our margin for error is not there. And so we've got to be locked in from top to bottom. We know to step in, that guy's got to do his job.
I know who didn't do his job last night. It was Bruno Caboclo's 11 seconds on the floor. I thought it was the worst 11 seconds I've seen in the season.
Fred VanVleet had a pretty sweet 2 minutes as well.
Yeah, he did.
Same with Poeltl. I think he had four. I watched both the games. Watched the game against the Nets. Should have won. Did win. And won big. I don't know. Did you see Kyle Lowry's block on Brooke Lopez, which turned the game around, a six-footer against a seven-footer. They were down 77-71. Lackluster start, finished with a barrage. They were unbelievable. I think they outscored them 42-17 at the end of the game to get the win, which is nice. Same thing, slow start against the Knicks. But these are teams you have to beat, and they've got a bunch of games coming up against teams that you have to beat. I think they get the Nets again in a day or two. Is that correct? And then
Tuesday.
They get the Nets tomorrow night, and I think you got the Suns mixed in there. Charlotte Hornets, pretty much the only team that you're going to get a test from. So they've got some games here that they should be winning. One of the things, though, when you watch the game yesterday that I took out of the game and had nothing to do with the Raptors, my God, do the Knicks suck.
Yeah.
Like Carmelo Anthony and Derek, I've said this from since start of the season. On paper, they look like they should have more depth than any team in the Eastern Conference.
If that paper was five years old, Derrick Rose
and Carmelo Anthony, sure.
If that paper was from players 5 years ago, D.
Yeah, but if you watch that game yesterday, it was like each time they got the ball, they called a clear out play for themselves. Like, it was like ISO play after ISO play, hero ball after hero ball. And that's the sign of, and you could see poor Jeff Hornacek is standing at the sidelines. At one point when Mello called his own number and told everybody to clear out, and he kind of backed in on the defender, Hornacek just turned around and started shaking his head. He's done that a bunch of times this season. That is such an unbelievably dysfunctional franchise when you watch that game. And we've been there as a franchise. I had empathy for the Knicks yesterday. Watching the Knicks play, knowing that the numbers on the back of the jerseys and the names on the jerseys and the paper that you see with this lineup, you're like, my God, this should be the best team in the Eastern Conference. But they're garbage because they have no idea how to play together. Like, wow. No idea. And then Melo yesterday basically said, hey, if it's my time to leave, it's my time to leave. Let's talk trade. Because he got beat that bad. And then they got beat a couple of days before that, in the last second, by the Philadelphia 76ers, who are actually better than the Knicks this season. So, say what you want about that Raptor win, and it was a good one. Every win's a great win, and you need them, but man, do the Knicks suck.
That's a team that at least there's a little ray of hope, and Porzingis didn't play yesterday because he's banged up, but at least you have that guy. And eventually, Phillip is going to make his way out of New York because they got to fire Phil Jackson because he's been a complete and utter disaster taking over that team. He still wants to instill that dinosaur triangle of him that isn't working with these bunch of players. He's got to go, and I don't know who's going to go in there and change things around for the Knicks. I think Isaiah Thomas would do a great job, but I don't know who's going to come in and fix the Knicks. But they need somebody to come in there and clean house again and build your entire franchise around Porzingis, because they should trade Melo, see what they can get for him. Derrick Rose is obviously in the back end of his career. Noah's been a disaster, too. He looks so old.
He shoots the ball.
Too.
He shoots the ball with two hands like a cannon.
Yeah.
Like he looks like it's the first time he's ever played basketball. He looks ridiculous,
awful.
Yeah,
it starts with getting Melo out of town. I mean, if he's having that conversation about maybe it is my time to
wait. Yeah, he did yesterday for the very first time. He basically is like, hey, listen, if I got to go, I got to go.
Because I mean, he's a ball hog. He's not a winner. He's just a shoot first guy who, you know, it's just
calls
like,
his own number. He did it all day yesterday.
Derrick Rose is a shoot first point guard who is injury ridden. Porzingis is the future, and you look at the rest of the roster. It's a bad team, and the Raptors are so on the other side of the spectrum. That is complete dysfunction. No identity. No leadership. No idea where you're going. Just trying to patch it together with names that were good 3-4 years ago. The Raptors have been building towards being a solid organization from top down, and the question becomes, are they willing to, will they make a move ahead of the deadline to maybe disrupt that, this chemistry that the Raptors have going, right? And that becomes the question for Ujiri and their staff.
Maybe Sollinger's healthy now, though, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's practicing.
I'm excited to see what he has. Absolutely. I'm excited to see what he does, yeah, for sure.
Raptors and Nets tomorrow night in Brooklyn right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the pregame at 7. Dean, the Maple Leafs off tonight. They host the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow in a game you can watch on Sportsnet Ontario, pregame at 7. The Leafs wake up this morning in a playoff spot, third in the Atlantic, thanks to that back-to-back wins in New York and Ottawa over the weekend. And finally, Down Under, Dean, we... Eugenie Bouchard in action this morning. She's about to take the court against America's Luisa Chirico.
Sweet.
It's coming up.
The Australian Open? That starts? That's what
it's
called?
Yeah, she's playing soon.
Like it's the Australian Open?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tennis's first major of the season.
Right on. 6:47. Hold on.
Why'd you cut that?
Well, because we got to go. It's late. It's a great song. 6:47. Hold on. Coming up in just a sec, we'll get to your Twitter poll question. You can weigh in. We've got some Jose Bautista love on Twitter. We want your input coming up in just a second as well. Also, after 7 o'clock, a chance to go and see a Leaf game. That is next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's sports radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Morning. Put a Twitter question out there. Not even a poll. We're going to do a Twitter poll question as well. At it's Dean Blundell. Love for you to go and weigh in. And it's a Deese question today. That's what I'm bringing. Deese. News breaking yesterday, Jose Bautista and the Toronto Blue Jays are nearing a deal to keep him in the city of Toronto. Don't know if it's for 1 or 2 years, might be for three. I don't know any of the details. I know it's going to be cheaper than what was originally thought. The term's going to be very favorable because he's got nowhere to go, and the Toronto Blue Jays similarly also nowhere to go for that position, and he's the best available batter on the hitter on the market. Yes, George,
what I thought it was
shaking your head at for
5 year, $150 million.
No,
that was the ask.
That's over.
Okay,
tis over.
Be a little less than that.
Yeah, significantly.
Just a little.
So we asked you this Twitter poll question this morning. It's not even a poll question. Finish the tweet. Hashtag finish the tweet. The news that at Joey Bats is nearing a deal with the at Blue Jays has me like. Now, what's come in so far is this. A discerning eye by the average Blue Jays fan. I need an Imodium, and it's the wrong move. We'll never win with him. That's from at Matic underscore 17. Jeff says, thank you, Jesus. Then he's got a picture of a lady dancing in a church. I believe they call those gifts.
Hmm.
Gifts are huge these days.
Yeah, big time.
The Jays signing Jose Bautista has me like shows the Jays offseason has not gone well. That's from Brian Harvey. Mike Frost says, quote, yawn. Robert Kervak says, glad I don't work at the Sportsnet promo department.
Well, you don't have to change some of the stuff. Jose's still
all
here.
That stuff all that stuff you spliced out, you got to splice back in. God, I got to put that back together. Anyway, lots to get to. Go and partake in the Twitter poll questions. Not even real, like I said, it's not a question. Finish the tweet. Hashtag finish the tweet. The signing of, or imminent signing of Jose Bautista and the news that they're nearing a deal with the Blue Jays has me like. At It's Dean Blundell. Finish the tweet. We'll share those with you. We'll get to a Twitter poll question coming up after 7 o'clock as well. And we'll also give you a chance to win some tickets to go and see your Toronto Maple Leafs play as well. Mitch Lawrence after 7:30. Jeff Merrick after 7 o'clock as well. We'll get to your fail of the day, too. Busy hour number two, which is coming up in 5 minutes from now. Right now, time for an we'll get to an update with George coming up in just a second. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.